Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome to the Buck Brief, everybody. We're looking at the Trump Supreme Court oral arguments today. And the biggest takeaway, I think Trump had a good day. I actually think that Donald Trump's lawyer, Sawyer, I think he did a really good job. A friend of mine described the Department of Justice counselor to the special counsel, Dreeben, as getting a legal wedgie today before the Supreme Court. And I think that was very much what happened. Let's break down some of this. This is honestly fascinating. First of all, before I even get into the merits of the arguments, let's understand this. This falls into this category of all of the legal scholars who had told you previously that the state ballot initiative to, or the states rather, sorry, states kicking Trump off the ballot. That was the initiative. Kicking Trump off the ballot, Colorado and Maine both dabbling in this. That was a serious legal argument. They got crushed 9-0 at the Supreme Court because obviously that would just mean that any state could decide to kick any candidate off the ballot and in essence be in a position to perhaps deliver the presidency to the other side, right? Or to their own side, you know, to get a win. You can't have that. Okay. You can't have states with no due process just saying you're off the ballot because we say so. California would just say no Trump on the ballot. Oh, I guess, you know, well, Biden would win that anyway. I know some of you would be pointing that out. But Pennsylvania or Michigan would say no Trump on the ballot. And then you say, okay, we got a problem here, right? All right. So the point is they got slapped down 9-0 at the Supreme Court. They got slapped down 9-0 at the Supreme Court, which means that you even when you have Sotomayor and Kagan going along with it, you have a situation where the argument being made is so clear that it is irrefutable, undeniable, indisputable And that was the case, state ballots. Why am I talking state ballots? Well, because on the other side of this, now we have the presidential immunity debate. And this was what was heard today at the Supreme Court, the presidential immunity debate. Now, this has been really interesting because the courts have never weighed in on this directly before. So this is uncharted legal territory, and it's really important stuff. What you need to know, first and foremost, is that the same legal scholars and experts who were saying, experts in quotes, who were saying it is a silly argument that Trump is making about this, that Trump's lawyers are making, that he has immunity for official acts while in office. Those same people that said that's preposterous were telling you, oh, and the states can kick Trump off the ballot, right? So they're wrong in a way. Well, we'll see what happens with today's argument, but I think it's going to go Trump's way. But they've already shown you in the past how wrong they are and how absurd they are and how poor their legal analysis is. Okay. So that's a component of this. Then you have, as we sort of look at what the details of this dispute get to, private versus public acts. That's really what is essential. The Biden DOJ special counsel, and I would note that this special counsel, I agree with the former AG Meese and former AG Mukasey amici brief. Briefs amici and whatever. My Latin's rusty. That the special counsel is illegitimate. How can you have somebody who they just decide you get to go and have this unbelievable power to prosecute anyone, anywhere, including a presidential candidate and former president for his acts while he was president, without Congress, without a presidential appointment? How do you have that? It's absurd. So that came up in the oral arguments today from Sauer, who, again, I think did an excellent, Trump's lawyer did an excellent job. People have said, Trump's never going to have any good lawyers who will even represent him. False. Sauer did a very good job today. He was totally sharp, and his arguments were incisive, and he came ready to play. He was good to go. The Dreeben guy, who's the Biden DOJ, was a lot of I don't know. You know, a lot of sort of trying to talk around some of the stuff and stall. Anyway, public versus private acts as a president. They're trying to say that what Trump did. Everyone agrees on both sides. There's got to be some immunity for a president for official acts. And this is effectively what I've been saying all along. You know, you can't have a prosecutor, for example, or a police officer just being sued or being prosecuted for the good faith operations of their job. Right. So you can't say, oh, well, this prosecutor made the decision to prosecute somebody. We're going to say that he goes to prison now. Because we don't like that decision, because it's within his prerogative to make that determination. It is an official act. And what the argument comes down to here is, well, what constitutes for a president a public versus a private act? Both sides agree. And this is we are establishing critical precedent here. Both sides agree that purely private conduct, let's just say a president, you know, strangles and murders a secretary in the White House, right? One of his aides or something. You have no immunity for that. You're going to prison. Okay. That's not a presidential act. They both agree on that. So that's believe it or not, that's an important place to start. So we know that there is a legal liability that even presidents have, again, for their private acts, meaning no one could make an argument. There is no argument to be made in a world where words have meaning, that a president, you know, bludgeoning a secretary with a candlestick and she, you know, bleeds out on the floor of the Oval Office. Oh, well, he's the president. That's part of his job. Like, no one buys that. Fine. Okay, both sides agree. That's good. But then where is the line? What is public? What is private as an official act? That's where it gets really, really interesting. And I have to say that is also where we are going to come back in a second. I'm going to tell you where that line is. You know, this podcast, as you know, as you can hear right now, it's all about having deep dive conversations into topics that have tremendous impact on us in the world we live in. And I want to bring you insights about politics and culture and what's actually happening. I don't really cover the markets. I'm not a stock guy, but I know somebody who does it phenomenally well. Mark Chaykin. Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years. In his time on the street, he invented three new indices for the NASDAQ, has predicted some of the biggest market shifts of the past decade. And he says that there's a big turning point coming up right now for stocks that are AI involved, that AI touches on either directly or indirectly. And he says it's a new dawn for U.S. stocks coming up. He doesn't want you to miss out on this. It's going to happen in the next 90 days. Go to 2024AIStock.com. That's 2024AIStock.com. You can watch for free, see what he has to say. 2024AIStock.com, paid for by Chaykin Analytics. All right, so where is the line? Public-private conduct. Where is the line for a president? They did ask some of the questions we expected them to, like, could Bush be prosecuted for lying about WMD or, you know, for being wrong about WMD? Whatever. These are the questions they were asking. Could Obama be prosecuted for droning an American citizen abroad without that person having any due process and not being involved in an imminent threat situation? Like, this wasn't, a terrorist with a gun to somebody's head when they were killed. In fact, if you believe the reports, it was a U.S. minor abroad, as in not yet even of age, who was caught in a drone strike. Now, you think that's a big deal? Truth is, Obama, and this is even from the Trump lawyers, no, Obama cannot be prosecuted for that. That is an official act as commander in chief, right? He is acting overseas to deal with an imminent threat against, a proven threat against the United States. Now, notice all of these arguments are arguments. None of them are perfect, because then they turn around and say, well, what about if, and they keep, I feel bad. They actually, one of the justices, I forget who it was, but was like, look, I'm not trying to, everyone always goes, what if SEAL Team 6, what if those guys were assigned to assassins? It's like, they're not an assassin squad. They're an elite tier one, military special operations unit, right? I just feel, but they're always, no one's ever like, what about the Green Berets going in and assassinating? It's always, what about SEAL Team 6 going in? So a justice actually pointed that out. He said, look, we know SEAL Team 6 are not like the assassin squad, but what if any military, like, it could just be an airstrike. It could be a drone strike. Okay. What if a president ordered a drone strike on another person, a U.S. person who was their political rival? Would that have immunity? And this is where you get to no. And then you get to the corrupt and criminal purpose. Well, if you have corrupt and criminal purpose for the act, then the act is not covered under immunity. Again, going back to the argument here. Well, then where is the line? Because, for example, if we get into the meat of the Trump situation, if you say, that President Trump viewed his role as president as making sure that there was not an illegitimate and therefore illegal certification of an election. If he is wrong, but he still does this believing he is correct, does that fall within his presidential powers? And this is right at the heart of the argument, because what the Democrat left anti-Trump argument is, well, no, Trump knew this was not true. Now you're getting into if you can effectively divine the mindset. He didn't. It's not like there was an illicit exchange. It wasn't a bribery situation, right? It's not like someone paid Trump when he was president, because bribery is something he talked about too. Oh, Mr. President, challenge the election. Here's $1 billion. Whatever. You'd say, well, then he has to know he's engaging in illegal conduct with an explicitly illegal purpose, or clearly illegal purpose to him. But you start to get into, well, the Democrats say he knew that it was fake. He knew that he was breaking the law. And the Republican, the Trump side of it is, well, you can't prove that. That hasn't been proven. And also being able to even challenge the official act itself, whether it's appointing an ambassador or signing a bill, that is a punishment that we can't allow presidents to go through. So if we determine that it is a legitimate official act, but we open up this Pandora's box to, well, you can still challenge the intent behind the official act, where does that stop? And now it's always, oh, well, you know, the president, he appointed that ambassador because that ambassador is going to be part of a future coup to overthrow the United States government. So now let's prosecute him for that conspiracy. They talked about this conspiracy and obstruction. Conspiracy and obstruction are very broad, very vague statutes. And you often really just rely on the good faith of the prosecutor to not abuse. And clearly they're abusing them against Trump. That's what we all, that's where this all goes. That's what we all see. I think that the anti-Trump argument here had a bad day. I'm going to tell you where this is going, where I think the next steps are in just a moment. But I want to speak to my fellow gun owners. You know, it's time you got introduced to a line of firearms that may be new to you, but, you know, they're made here in America. They're top quality at an incredible price. Bear Creek Arsenal. Bear Creek Arsenal. It's a great story, too, when you look at the founding of this company. Veteran-owned and operated gun manufacturer based in Sanford, North Carolina, Bear Creek Arsenal makes high-quality firearms at an incredible everyday value. But the quality you're getting here, I mean, the price point is phenomenal. They're able to offer a wide range of premium calibers at a fraction of what the competitors do. There's no middleman fees. That's how. They're passing that savings along to you. Their products are precision-oriented, perform very well at the range or in any situation where you need your firearm. Bear Creek Arsenal was founded by engineers with over two decades of experience in the firearms industry. I've got their BC-15 model, the Bear Creek Arsenal AR-15 model. It is great. Got it all ready to rock. I've been out at the range with it. It's a fantastic firearm. I've also got the Grizzly, which is my 9mm pistol. One of the things I love about it is that it has this excellent groove, you know, for my weak hand, my left hand. And when I am holding, it always reminds me when I'm holding my Grizzly from Bear Creek Arsenal, make sure I get my left thumb up on the slide properly to give me the proper grip on. It's so important with shooting a pistol. Got to have proper grip. And this just this little, you can tell, little ergonomics, little decision-making about Bear Creek Arsenal's firearms make such a big difference. BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. That's where I want you to go. BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. Use promo code buck to get 10% off your first order. BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. Use promo code buck for 10% off. You're going to love this. Go to that website. You're going to love the firearms gear. They got great prices on optics, too, all kinds of stuff, knives. Where do I think this is going for Trump? I think the Supreme Court is going to overrule the lower court and send it down with further instructions to review it in a specified scope as to what presidential powers really are. I think they'll be defining some of it in their decision. And I think that this means that they're not going to be able to get this. Well, it's going to be even harder for them to get this federal trial, the J6 trial. That's what's the background of all this, by the way. This is all, I should have said it at the beginning, this is all J6 trial stuff. I think they're not going to be able to get this. If I'm right about the Supreme Court's order, I don't think they'll be able to get this thing done in time, although maybe the lower courts are going to go into ludicrous speed, which they've been doing all along. That's possible. So we shall see. But a good day for Trump, a good day for the Constitution, I believe. We'll see what that decision is. Shields high. Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber, the complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye. He needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.